Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
January, I'm going to preach a series, I guess. What do they call it now? Talks? Like the young preachers call them talks. I'm going to give you some talks. The month of January, but I think it's going to, it really is going to be basic. And I started it last week that our justification that we have in our life that makes us right with God is our faith. And our faith is such a big deal. It's what we live by now. Okay. But listen, the kingdom operates, and it's real simple. The kingdom operates by grace through faith. That's how the kingdom operates. So if you're wondering how you receive health in your body, if you're wondering how you get through the trials of life, issues that you have in life, promotions or the lack thereof, or a new career or whatever, it's always, listen, it's always by grace through faith. Can you repeat that for me just one time, just so I know you got it? Okay, by grace through faith. And it's not us, it's a gift from God. It's the gift of God in our lives. It's amazing that one of the songs we sang this morning, I see it everywhere now that I'm preaching it this month, but one of the songs this morning said that God didn't want heaven without us. And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't think he did. I think that's what this is all about. But listen, the relationship that we have with God, it's not social. See, I think that's what we've got to be really careful of, is that the relationship that we have with God is spiritual. And see, I think that we look at it as we're going to have experienced God and we're going to have a relationship with God, and that relationship feels like it's social. But see, social is carnal. And social is our flesh. And in order to have a relationship with God, listen, you've got to give up some of the social. You've got to sacrifice some of the flesh, the things that we have. So when I first became a Christian, I remember that, man, I was a fun guy. I really was. And man, I could tell stories and I could tell jokes and man, I was fun. But then you become a Christian, and most of those stories, most of those jokes, it's like, doesn't taste good now. People tell me a joke or tell me a story and you'd be like, that's not that funny now. Because we become new creations in Christ. The Bible says, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. And as new creations in Christ now, listen, we're spirit beings now. See, before we were Christians, we were dominated by our flesh. And so we're like body conscious and all like pleasing man and all, everything we could do to get by, to climb the ladder of life. And now we've become a Christian. It's like, wait a second. It's interesting about this because now I see the spiritual side of this outweighs any other side that there is. And see, and we know God. Listen, you could write this down, because our relationship with God now, it's not social. Our relationship with God is spirit and truth. See, that's how we have to look at it now. See, so if we can't identify ourselves as spirit beings, and it's, I know it's hard, because you don't look in the mirror and see your spirit being, you know, and the price that Jesus paid for us, it's not so much, we're all thinking that price is about heaven. Man, he got that price against heaven. I think the price that he paid for us was about our sin. I think that price, yeah, I believe it gives us access and admission to heaven, but I also believe, listen, it changes us from the inside. It changes us into being, no, wait a second, I'm more than a conqueror now through Christ who strengthens me. What is that? That's God's grace. But see, we're all conditioned through life to strive for areas and to gravitate toward areas that we're strong in. Man, if I'm strong in an area, I'm going to gravitate toward that area. If I'm weak in an area, I'm going to let somebody else do it. And what's interesting about this is that in our weakness is made his perfect strength. See, so much of God's grace, we have to consider, it's not about me. It's not about you. See, it's not about about what I'm experiencing. It's not about my life or my wants or my rights or my desires. Man, it's all about God's provision. See, what God's grace is the finished work of Christ. It's what God has already done on our behalf. And if anybody in this room or anybody in Scott Tucker's Pulpit or anybody watching on the internet, if you're thinking, man, I need God to come and do this, that's not a place of faith because he's already done it. See, and at best, this faith that we live, it's by grace through faith. At best, it's awkward. At best, it's probably beyond that. Because what we have to do is we have to deny our flesh. Now listen, our flesh, the decisions that our flesh is predicated upon our senses. But see, our faith works independent of our senses. Matter of fact, all of our senses work independent of each other as well. But our faith works independent of our senses. And you know what's interesting is, and some of you guys that are doctors or are science people, you can explain this much better than I do. But if a man or a woman loses a sense, like sight, the other senses become stronger. The other senses become more sensitive to what's happening. Well, now listen, I believe that to be true. And I also believe that if we deny the senses that we are conditioned to trust as men and women, and we trust God, man, if we're not so conditioned upon what we see or how we feel, or if we're conditioned upon what God's word says, that'll become much more sensitive to what we need in life. It'll become much more, much stronger. Why? Because in my weakness is made his perfect strength. I mean, that this is such an amazing doctrine that God's given us with his son, Jesus. It's so amazing that, you know, Paul goes and says, man, he inquired of the Lord three times. And what's interesting is I think that there's a lot of people, most of the body of Christ, that would say, well, and God said no. God never said no. God said, my grace is sufficient. Everybody say, God's grace is sufficient. Say it again. Say, God's grace is sufficient. See, whatever you have need of, God's grace is sufficient. So here's Paul. I inquired of the Lord three times, and God said, my grace is sufficient. Listen, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul goes, okay, enough said. I'd rather be weak than strong now. See, that's the place where we have to get. And that's that place where it's beyond awkward. That should be the title of this message today, beyond awkward. Man, it's awkward for me to go, no, I'm fine being weak in this area because I'm trusting God. And trusting God, listen, his strength, God's strength, God's grace, God's supernatural ability is made perfect, not in my strength, but in my weakness. Now, we've got to just lay it on the line. At some point, I believe we all do. God, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. God, this isn't about how much I can do. And there's so many situations. How many situations? I can't be the only person that I come across. So many situations where it's like, God, I can't figure this out. God, I'm at a fork in the road. God, I'm at a Y. God, I thank you that many of the plans of my heart, but you direct my steps. You know, when you look at it, but all your senses, your flesh is wanting to fire up and say, well, wait a second. You weren't prepared for this fork of the road. You weren't prepared for this decision. You know what? You're right. We're not prepared for so many decisions. But you know what? His grace is sufficient. Man, in my weakness is made his perfect strength. Man, it's by grace through faith, and it's a gift of God. You know, the older you get, see, I think we as kids, as children, love gifts. Hey, I got something for you. And the nicer it is, the better it is. But listen, the older we get and the more mature that we get, gifts become awkward. Expensive gifts, big gifts become very awkward. Oh my gosh, that's awkward. I don't know what to do. You know, there's so many times that, you know, Sandy and the Guts Girls will bless a single mom, and they'll bring them up on the stage and say, man, we want to do this. We want to pay your rent for a year. You can see the person's body language. I don't know what to do. It's awkward. This kind of gift is awkward. Well, this kind of gift that God's given us in his grace, it's awkward to our flesh. We have to understand that. It's going to be awkward. We're not going to trust what we see anymore. We're not going to trust how we feel anymore. We're not going to trust the symptoms anymore. We're not going to trust the diagnosis anymore. Yeah, you know what? But let me just tell you what the enemy's going to do. We have an adversary. We have an enemy. And the devil, and the Bible says that he is stalking us. He's a stalker. He's trying to find that way in. He's trying to find that weak spot in our lives, and he's trying to get in. And what he wants to do, listen, he wants to lie to you. He wants to deceive you. Listen, it's somehow you need to write this down. But how he does it is he uses facts. And that's what, again, it makes it awkward. He's not going to make something. I didn't wake up this morning thinking, oh my gosh, my arm may fall off today. This is crazy, but I'm really worried, Nina, that my arm may fall off today. I didn't wake up thinking that because there's no factual basis to that. But see, what the enemy's going to do, he's going to take little facts, things that you're aware of, and he's going to deceive you into thinking that that's how things are. Well, let me explain to you about facts. They change. And the root definition of a lie, and the enemy's the father of lies, the root definition of a lie is anything subject to change. So what the devil's going to do, he's going to take little facts God's given us what? The truth. See, we have to understand that there are facts out there, but truth always trumps. Truth always overcomes. Truth always wins over facts. Why, you may ask? Because facts change. The truth never changes. See, so if the facts of your life, of your health is disease, what's the truth? By whose stripes I was healed. God sent his word to heal me and deliver me of my destructions. I could call for the elders of the church and they could lay hands on me and anoint me with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. See, that's the truth. But again, what is that? It's awkward. Oh my goodness. So what we have to do is we have to position ourselves. Position ourselves in victory. Now, when those facts come my way, I could overcome it with truth. But if I'm trying to fight an uphill battle or against the wind battle or an outnumbered battle with facts, it becomes so much difficult. Man, if I don't have that position, if my position is, man, I'm hoping this works out. If my position is, God, I've got this disease. Can you please send your healing to me? Well, that's not trust. Because trust is this. God, you've sent your healing. I receive it. I call myself healed in Jesus' name. And you know what? You look at it and say, well, that's not the truth. No, that is the truth. It just may not be factual. See, understanding facts are subject to change. The truth never does. See, and but what are we justified by? Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by faith. What are we justified by? Faith. What do we have then? Peace. I'm justified by faith. Now listen, man, by grace through faith, I'm justified by that faith and I have peace with God. What does that peace give me? That peace means that I have an assurance that I can rest in the truth that my God's a deliverer. That my God sets me free, that the world, that symptoms, that addictions can't hold me captive in Jesus' name. I will live and not die. See, and through whom we also have access, listen, by this faith again, into this grace in which we stand. See, it has to be a stand of grace that we take, a stand of victory that we take, a stand of triumph that we take. Now, defending that stand, oh my gosh, that's simple. Trying to gain that victory when understanding this, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. We normally bring worldly, carnal, personal weapons into the fight. And I'm telling you, all the devil has to do is just do this. Just flick us away. Just like this. Just pass. None of them work. The weapons of our warfare are carnal, but mighty unto God. for the pulling down of strongholds. See, the whole idea of this, Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. See, it isn't just the isolated little things that, oh God, I need help with my truck. Oh God, I need help with my job. No, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. He said, I've overcome the world, the whole shooting match. The victory has been won. Now we walk in that victory. Yet how many people do we know that actually do? Man, because I'll tell you, symptoms seem so real because they're factual. But we have access by faith. That's what Romans 5:2 says. Through whom we have access by faith. That word access is synonymous with admission. We have admission by faith. And in which we stand. But in Colossians, Paul writes that it says, in him dwells all the Godhead bodily. Man, the fullness of the Godhead. Everything about God dwells in this. Jesus was the Word made flesh. In this Word, in this doctrine of peace and love, in this doctrine, this covenant that God's given us. Listen, in this covenant of grace, this doctrine of grace, the kingdom of grace. See, it's God's provision in my life. God's taking care of everything I have need of. Now I just have to trust him. I have to put my trust in him. And listen, the relationship we have with God isn't carnal. It's not social. Hey, God, you want to play some gin? Hey, God, you want to go to the ball game? Hey, God, no, if you're playing gin rummy, if you're going to the ball game, absolutely, God's with you. But listen, that's not the relationship that we talk about. The relationship that we have with God is a relationship with his power, a relationship with his grace, a relationship with his provision. And you know what we have to do? Man, we've got to fast that, or we've got to provide an opportunity, provide room for God to be able to speak to us and to commune with us and to relate to us and us to relate to him. Otherwise, our flesh has no relationship with God. Our flesh can't. So the Bible says this, when we crucify our flesh daily, that we check ourselves daily that we're in faith, that we're in trust. Why? Because, man, your senses are always going to want to take over. Man, but what God, what God has for you, even in your weak areas, the weakest area that you could have, God's strength is made perfect in that weak area. But you know what? Those weak areas to our flesh, they're embarrassing. Those weak areas make it, we're ashamed. We feel guilty over those weak areas. But you know what? What our flesh feels guilty over, God makes his strength perfect in those areas. Do you see how amazing this is? See, but somehow this message, the wiring is it's difficult for people to turn and live this because, man, those things are so real. Man, I've got potholes in my path. In my past, I've got things that, oh my gosh, it's. What am I going to do from here? How am I going to go from here? And what God does is God changes the whole perspective in my heart over it. See, I'm able to overcome that now because his strength is made perfect in those potholes. His grace is sufficient for me. It's his grace. This is such an amazing, it's not just a concept, because there's life in it. There's no loneliness in it. There's no regret in it. There's no unforgiveness or bitterness in it. Oh my gosh. If his grace truly is sufficient for me, how can I be bitter about anything or anybody? If his grace really is sufficient for me, how can I not be able to forgive? Listen, like that, anyone in my life. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. In Ephesians, the first chapter, Paul writes, and he says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? See, the power toward us. I'm telling you, man, you just take a stand of faith, his power is gonna overwhelm your life. That's what the Bible promises here. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of God, at his right hand in heavenly places. See, we look at this, it's the whole idea of this is my connection, my relationship with God is linked to Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God now. So my connection with God is at his right hand. My connection with God is established at his right hand. And see, we have to understand with this, there's so many times that we're just like Saul in the Old Testament. We're just like Saul, where Samuel came and said, listen, don't do anything for 7 days. On the seventh day, his life got so awkward and there was so much peer pressure in his life and so much pressure that he turned and he sacrificed an unclean animal, and Samuel came back and said, what have you done? Now listen to this. He said, what have you done? He said, well, you didn't come back. He said, I told you to wait 7 days. It was the seventh day when Saul cratered. And Samuel said, what have you done? And then Samuel had to turn to Saul and he had to say, you were anointed, but your kingdom will never be established. So what did God do? God had to choose David. See, understand this. See, the David part of our life, we all think about David and Goliath. We all think about what's happening. But I'm telling you, there's a David in your life that just Saul has to get out of the way. See, there's that grace that's in your life that what God wants to do is God wants to give you an overwhelming, victorious life, not just instances of victory. You're making me work way too hard today. See, I look at God's grace like this. It's this huge canopy over my life. Huge canopy. I could get out from under his grace. I could get out from under that canopy, but why would I? And I'll tell you, so often what God will do in my life is if come here, Chano. If God's looking for Chano, who's living right here, and this is his grace, if God's looking for Chano to move over here, Chano will sense God's grace moving a little bit. God's grace shifting in his life. It's like, wait a second, God. So now, when that shift begins to happen, Chano has to hear God succinctly. He's clearly. Okay? So all the television and all the movies and all the music and all the media that we like to listen to and like to look at, man, we've got to calm that down so we've got to fast that so we can feast on what God's saying. Because God wants us over here into this incredible place. And his grace is right here. God's not just going to take it and jerk it out over here so that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm unprotected. I'm in this and I'm under every attack can hit me. No, God's just going to just like this, real gently just move you. Just gently just guide you. Just gently. Now listen, he'll get here and start waving to Chano, okay? Start waving to him. He's waving to you, and you're looking, and that, so Chano notices that. Chano could go over and say, hey, what's going on? Hey, how you doing? And you know what? Man, that's what the devil's going to do. How many times in your life have you felt, man, God's moving you in your life just a little bit? And I'm telling you, I'm switching gears here a little bit because there's somebody in here that this is for. And God's moving your life and direct you a little bit, but something caught your eye. Or something distracted you just a little bit. And then the next thing you know, man, you're about that distraction and didn't get to the place that God has for you. See, his grace is sufficient. God's going to tend and care for your life, but it's all through faith. It's all through your trust. If you trust how you feel, if you trust what you see, if you trust the symptoms, if you trust the reports, if you trust what the media is saying, I'm just telling you, all the indicators in the world, the Bible says, call them all a lie and let God be the truth. And see, the only way we can know him is that we have to give him room and space in our life. And a lot of times, that's cutting out the social things in our life. I believe most of the persecution that the church today in America gets as social. I really do. They discount us. They'll call us backward, uneducated, whatever. It's social. Hurts a little bit. It's like, oh no, let me tell you how smart I am. Let me tell you how educated I am. No, you know what? Paul stood up and said, you know, you're right. There's not many noble among us. See, we have to understand that in order to really receive this, and I don't just want to preach it, I want to give you an opportunity to receive this grace, is you have to create opportunity for God in this spiritual relationship that you have with God. And you know what that is? Man, there's only simple things. You worship him, you praise him, you pray. Man, you wanna find the land of awkward to your flesh, it's in prayer. Because none of it's social. It's like, what good is this? Man, I'm talking to God and I'm talking to God with my, and but God's not speaking back to my ear, he's speaking to my heart, but I'm talking with my mouth. And no, but you know what? It requires you giving God, providing that opportunity for God, giving God that opportunity for you just to commune with him and fellowship with him. Now we do it, we're doing it every day, Monday through Friday through this Daniel fast, right here in this room, we're praying from noon to one. It's you coming to church today was an obedience. It just simply obedient. You know, do you understand the biggest things to our flesh? Man, we can make Jesus Lord of our life all day long. We could say it. We could pay the lip service to it. But then that next step of, man, I'm gonna go to church every week. I'm gonna be there every Sunday. You know what? What's interesting to me is I didn't ever take that step. And I think this is a key to helping me get to where I am, is those little steps that I took that felt like huge commitments I made. But I remember making a commitment to God. I'm gonna be there every time the doors open. And I remember there were times where I went and there were things going on that didn't apply to me, but the doors were open. So you know what? I can help somewhere else. I can help in the periphery of the church here. But see, it's just simple little obedient steps that we take that causes God's grace, that causes his power and his supernatural ability, his abundance, his favor to overflow and to cascade into our lives. God has so much life for us. So much life for you. And some of you guys have been through health things. Man, my profession of faith would be I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That'd be my profession of faith if I were you. Some of you guys are tight financially. Some of you guys that say, my profession of faith, I'd say, My father's God, and he owns cattle on 1,000 hills. And I'm his heir. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And all my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And some of you guys are having marital issues. God, as the husband of my wife, God, I lay my life down for her. God, help me lay my life down for her. And God, I thank you that in whatever shape my marriage is, God, you're a God who's resurrecting things in my life. I have been resurrected with Christ, so my marriage has as well in Jesus' name. See, there's things just simple. I'm telling you, simple steps in obedience, and where we're just obedient to God's word. We're obedient to the truth. Instead of being so obedient to the facts. I mean, there's so many people that say, well, I've grown out of love with her. It's like, who told you that? No, for real. What talk show have you been watching? What Oprah guest was there that said something like that that made you grab a hold of something goofy like that? See, we trust God. We trust God's word. We don't trust how we feel. We don't trust what we see. We don't trust anything that's contrary to his promise and what he's provided. And that's the big key. The big key is everything God has promised, he's provided. It's here for you right now. By grace through faith. And it's really that simple.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.